Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 254, a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Treatments for Sex Reassignment.
Best practices medical care for transgender youth is supported by every leading medical association, including the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, American Psychiatric Association, the Endocrine Society, and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry.
You may have heard there are some bills pending in the state of Florida that have to do with transgender topics, including this one that is going to be heard in the House floor, I think, tomorrow. And that's Tina Scott-Polsky in the Senate. On the Senate side, they passed this bill already. And that's the one that would, you know, ban procedures, either hormonal or surgical interventions for minors who are transgender. And, you know, as we've talked about this many times before, the basic question here is whether that falls within the scope of allowable parental rights or whether that falls outside of the scope of allowable parental rights to make that decision for a minor child and therefore should be regulated or prohibited in this case by the state. Tina Scott-Polsky goes on to say,
52% of trans and non-binary youth seriously considered suicide in the past year, and 1 in 5 attempted suicide. 36% of LGBTQ youth reported being physically threatened or harmed due to their sexual orientation or gender identity.
And that, one of the things about that is the argument on the left is, therefore, you ought to allow this because prohibiting this is what's causing all of these, you know, psychological issues. If you simply allow children to become who they are, is their phraseology, and to adjust their bodies in order to fit who they are, then you will solve much of this trouble. They will be happier. They will be healthier. That's why they call it gender-affirming care, because they believe that this is care, health care, for a child, and to deny it is some variation on evil or mean or something like that. I don't know if you happen to see the SNL sketch over the weekend. It wasn't funny, but it was definitely, you know, SNL has taken the position that this is just what ought to be done with children. They had, it was on a Weekend Update, and they had a character show up who, again, wasn't really cracking jokes. I mean, to some degree, but was really just saying, this is our position. Of course, an interesting turn for SNL, after having been the authors of, you know, It's Pat back in the day, you'll recall, which wasn't trans exactly, but was a little bit, you know, a very different take on them from back in the day. So the other solution, or the other perspective on the issue of depression, suicidal ideation, all the things that you do see in a higher percentage among kids who have gender dysphoria, is that maybe those are sort of collateral evidence that there's something troubling the kid. And that manifests both as depressed suicidal ideation and also as having gender dysphoria or, you know, gender identity issues. And that you don't solve this problem by saying, no, 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 you're right. Therefore, let's engage in, you know, very aggressive, semi-permanent, because, you know, all things these days can be reversed, but, you know, semi-permanent body modification in just the same way that we don't cater to their self-harm ideas and say, no, 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 you're right, we ought to act on those things. But again, you know, Tina Scott-Polsky, one of the spokespeople for the left in Florida.
Honestly, this is persecution, plain and simple.
Well, it's easy to style it that way. Agreed. It's easy to style it that way. The alternative is that it's thinking about, you know, what are the norms that we believe in, what is best for children, and again, for the conservative perspective on this, or at least the Republican perspective on this, the idea is, look, not when they're children, you know, because children change their minds. Children have different ideas today that they might have in a year or 2 years. Of course, the other and therefore let them wait until they're adults. Of course, the other side will say, well, if you wait a year or 2 years, then, you know, kids are going to harm themselves. Kids are going to die because you've not given them the medical intervention that they really need. It, it's not an easy topic. We've talked about it many times, but, you know, because this vote is coming up again tomorrow in the House side, I thought we ought to talk about it a little bit. And, of course, the Democrats are making this point as well. This is Lori Berman, another relatively outspoken Democrat senator.
Free states don't ban health care. The state should not be stepping in to override parents' decisions about health care for their children. The bill strips Florida parents of the right to follow the evidence-based advice of healthcare providers to provide the best care for their transgender child.
And the line that they keep using is, of course, DeSantis's line, that this is the free state of Florida. And as other people have said, you know, the Thunderdome of Freedom and all that. And again, I think that's at least an on-target criticism in this way. I think it's a mistake to ever style yourself as being in favor of freedom, period, full stop. Because nobody's really in favor of all freedoms. I mean, maybe a libertarian or an anarchist is, you know, a little bit on better ground to say that they're in favor of all freedoms. No, what you have is a different concept of the appropriate level of freedom to be allowed for people. Right? People on the left, typically, Democrats, typically, believe that you ought to have a high degree of what you might describe as social, moral, or maybe personal, it's kind of not the best term, but that you ought, you know, things like sex typically is where this manifests. Okay, you ought to have the maximum amount of freedom in those realms. And you should not have very much freedom by comparison in the realm of economics. You know, if you make a lot of money, we should tax you. And if you don't make a lot of money, we should benefit you. There's a low freedom economically, high freedom sort of sexually, socially, morally. Conservatives, on the other hand, historically have believed that what you ought to have is a high degree of economic freedom, because labor is the most direct expression of your liberty, and therefore the property that results from it is, you know, life, liberty, property. They're all very tightly connected. On the other hand, people in the realm of, you know, what we call, again, social values or sexual ethics, things like this, abortion, reproduction, sex, all of that, pornography, we don't believe in as much freedom in that realm, because we believe that those things are harmful to people and to individuals and also to other people in the culture. So neither side can say we really believe in freedom. Fascists, by the way, just to kind of clarify, and there's a really interesting scale. You can see this on a chart kind of, but I won't bore you with all that because it's a visual. But the point is that fascists or totalitarians believe in low freedom in both regards. They want the government to control your private life or your social life, and they also want the government to control your economic life. Libertarians believe that the government ought to be out of both. You shouldn't have government controls in either. And then anarchists believe in no government control whatsoever. Every person's an island of their own, or something like that. So libertarians are the ones who would say they believe in freedom, period, okay? Or at least generally so. Whereas conservatives and liberals both believe in different shapes of freedom. So yes, when it comes to, for example, keeping businesses open and having low taxation, that's the conservative picture of freedom that Governor DeSantis will believe in. And that's why on the left, they say, yeah, but you're taking away these books out of libraries and you're taking away drag shows and you're telling trans kids that they can't have these surgeries and people can't use the pronoun of their choice. How are those manifestations of freedom? Well, they're not. I mean, that's the point. There is definitely a verbiage conflict there. Does it mean that he doesn't believe in freedom? No, it means he believes in a different kind of freedom. And, you know, it's just fair to acknowledge that. Tracy Davis, another one who, again, Democrat speaking on this topic last week.
Every single person in this room has had the luxury to not think about their gender identity. Almost everyone here has had the luxury to not think about their sexual orientation, because you were born in that way that society accepts.
And by the way, I think she's right. And people on my side of the aisle who do oppose these things ought to acknowledge that, that if you've never had questions about whether you feel comfortable in your body, it's very hard to understand those who do. And frankly, I think that if you took a moment to think about it, you'd realize that's a pretty horrible thing to have happen. If you find yourself in a body that seems completely wrong to you, that cannot be an easy thing to endure, right? And so it's fair to consider the question, well, am I only judging this because I've never experienced this? Am I only judging this because, you know, it's outside of my realm of comfort? Those are, you should always ask yourself those questions. You know, they would maybe style it as privilege. And there is a degree to which the fact that you belong to the norm of society historically makes it easier to condemn anybody or criticize anybody who's outside that norm. But just because that's the language they use, don't throw that away. Take that seriously. Just to be sure, you always want to take seriously the people who disagree with you. What they're saying might not be serious. What they're saying might be ridiculous. But still try to take it seriously if you can and see, you know, when you come out the other side. Can I still believe, for example, that, you know, this must be a very hard thing for people to deal with? Does that mean that we have to say, do what they think they ought to have done to their bodies as children? Well, no. Again, I give you the suicide example, right? I take that very seriously. And even though I've never had that personal desire, and I feel horrible for the people who have, that doesn't mean that you say, well, the answer is act on it. Right? But you ought to take that seriously anytime you've never experienced something personally. And finally, here from, again, Tracy Davis.
If the debate was truly just about restricting genital surgeries to adults, that would be a different conversation. But that's not why we're here. It's gender-affirming care as the concept.
Yeah, which is a terminology that I frankly just despise. And here's why. Because as a philosopher, as a logician, as somebody who tries to, as a news person, okay, somebody who tries to describe things in as neutral a way as possible, this is an incredibly biased set of terms. Because it presupposes that the kind thing, the nice thing, the generous thing, the care thing, the healthcare thing, all of this, that, and that gender is not something that's in your body, and that sexuality or sex is not something that really matters all that much. It's kind of like the whole scope of this term is, if you were to start with the end in mind of making something sound good that you want to do that is really radical historically, this is the term you come up with. It's brilliant terminology. Okay, if by brilliant what you mean is how to manipulate people without actually engaging in the argument and to try to bias the argument in advance by the terms you pick, then it's brilliant. And it really is. And sometimes the left is very good at the language stuff. So, as I said, tomorrow the House is going to take this up, HB 1421, SB 254. Also, tomorrow the House is going to consider a bill that would aim at prevent children from attending drag shows, and another bill that seeks to prevent transgender men and women from using bathrooms that don't line up with their sex assigned at birth. We have several different bills running in the legislature this year on this. And here's kind of my overall take on this. It seems like a lot all of a sudden. But then again, if you look at the news, you see a lot all of a sudden in the last year or two about this topic particularly. And so this is Florida under the Republicans taking the position that sex is what you're born with and everything else is wrong, deviant, inappropriate to some degree. And we're not going to have a society built around accepting those things. We're going to have a society built around prohibiting those things and declaring that this is normal, that is not. And that's what we're going to build our laws around. As I say, it is definitely, you can't say that as a pro-freedom stance. But what you should say is we believe in some kinds of freedom and not others. So that's what's coming up tomorrow on the floor of the House. 523 News Radio. As I said, the Senate already passed that bill. 523 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get better health with scientifically proven technology that's not going to the gym, diet supplements, pharmaceuticals, or medical treatment. Hear how OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Find out more this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. They have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, man. I was in the car yesterday with my wife, and somebody on the radio made the announcement that Aerosmith's first album came out 50 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Let that sink in for a second. And then, of course, part two of that is, and it's going to be the classic rock apocalypse of people in the next 5 to 10 years. You know, we're going to have all of these aging rockers who are like 70, 75 now.
I know.
Well, they're not going to make it to 90, okay? So, you know, and there's going to be a lot of that, as I was thinking about the people.
I don't know, man. The whole Aerosmith, like, you probably never, I've met them a couple of times, and they're like super healthy. I'm not kidding. They were worried about drinking tea.
Maybe they make it farther. Maybe they make it
Keith Richards, probably not so much.
Well, Keith Richards is...
he's an anomaly.
He's pre-embalmed, right? I mean, that's...
Yes, that's the term.
So, 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An Alabama community mourning a deadly shooting. 4 people killed, nearly 30 others injured over the weekend when gunfire erupted at a birthday party celebration in downtown Dadeville. That's just northeast of Montgomery on Saturday. Several hundred people there attended a community vigil last night. The start of the trial in the Dominion voting system $1.6 billion defamation suit against Fox News now being delayed. Judge Eric Davis has announced that trial will get underway tomorrow. Opening arguments had previously been scheduled to start today. Dominion suing over claims that their voting machines were rigged in 2020. And the FBI says they think that the Air National Guard member accused of posting classified military documents may have more of them. Jack Teixeira is charged with retaining and transmitting national defense information without authorization. That investigation is continuing.
Yeah, I would make the assumption that he does. I don't imagine that, you know, he just went and said, here's it all. You know, right? I mean, that's, I would think, I mean, it seems to be pretty common for even presidents sometimes to have additional classified materials that they don't even know they have, maybe. David, thanks so much for the update. 520. Well, no, both, you know.
No, everybody.
Everybody, right? Pretty much everybody.
I think we probably do.
437-1620. What else do we have going on? Remember on Friday we had Teresa Blackwell in here to talk about the OLF 8 and also Ed Carson, you know, for the wrap to talk about OLF 8. She's got a very interesting opinion piece in the PNJ came out on Sunday and basically says, look, if we want just another Anywhere USA strip mall and tract housing and it's just a stopover on the interstate when you need to, you know, get a bite to eat at your favorite national burger chain, well, we can have that. And she says that's basically what the Sterling and D.R. Horton proposal is for OLF 8. On the other hand, if what you want is something that's interesting and varied and a place where people want to live and work and, you know, walk their dogs and go out to eat and walk to the, you know, whatever the services are and have concerts in the park and shows and, you know, like if that's your picture, well, then you do it differently. You don't necessarily do it for McDonald's, gas stations, and car washes. Not that we can never have too many of those. Oh, my God. I have to pause for a second. I don't understand the car wash thing. I just don't. I wouldn't say in the minority, but there are apparently enough people that you take your cars to go get them washed, what? Multiple times in a month, multiple times in a week. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. But, you know, if you go to the Creighton Walmart or if you go, where was I yesterday that I saw another one coming? And I just thought, oh, my God. Like, how many can we? It's, you know, we aren't building mattress stores so much anymore, but we are building car washes on every corner. Like, you know, there's got to be a coffee shop and a car wash. And it's bizarre to me. But, you know, okay. Obviously, they're responding to market forces. Anyway, so she says, look, if that's what you want, then, you know, we can do that. And that's the path that they're on right now. The commission's on right now. On the other hand, if, you know, you want a place where the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra could play Christmas music and the kids run around in the bandstand and there's, you know, a food truck court and local shops and a vintage record shop and a small grocery and, you know, houses of all different sizes and shapes and people of all different sizes and shapes, you know, then we can build that. And that's actually what we agreed to build. And even though the county is kind of pushing forward on a different direction, or so it seems, again, I tell you that every time I ask West Miranda, the county administrator, you promise that we're going to stay with the master plan? I was like, I promise. They're going to stay with the master plan. Okay, well, you know, let's see. Anyway, it was a very interesting article. She talked about this on Friday that she was going to write it, and I had not read it until yesterday, but it does kind of set out that stark contrast of where we could be in, you know, 10 years. based on what we do or don't do on the OLF 8 property. 5:30 here on News Ready 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, yeah, and storage units. Oh, my God, somebody texting in storage units. That's exactly right. Good Lord, how many different places can we convert to storage units? What do you have coming up, David?
The Fred Levin Way Street Festival is held. We'll tell you about it after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A field hearing for the House Judiciary Committee probing Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, who's prosecuting former President Donald Trump. The Republican-led panel bills it as a probe of the Democrats' pro-crime, anti-victim policies. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy delivers her speech at the New York Stock Exchange, 10 a.m. Eastern, in the face of the nation's debt limit crisis. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Northern Ireland today.
You stand as an example to the world of how even the staunchest adversaries can overcome differences to work together for the common and greater good.
She's there with her husband, former President Bill Clinton, celebrating 25 years of the peace deal known as the Good Friday Peace Accord, and the running of the Boston Marathon today, 10 years since the domestic terrorist bombing attack that killed 3, injured 281. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 53 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. The legacy of Fred Levin lives on. Thousands of people turned out for the annual Fred Levin Way Street Festival. That was held Sunday night. There was free food, giveaways, and prizes. Of course, all this held around Fred Levin Way. Dozens of nonprofits were there to highlight their services, and Levin's son helped to organize the event. He says his father was born here, made his fortune here, and says there's no place that their family would rather be. He says the festival is his family's way of giving back. Some lanes over on South Navy Boulevard near NAS Pensacola are going to be closed today. They're beginning a new lane resurfacing project that's going to include utility, sidewalk, and curb repairs on the outer northbound lanes coming out of the NAS. Now, you can expect your lane closures there daily until the work is done, and authorities asking drivers that are going to be headed through that area to be cautious. The former Democratic nominee for governor going on trial today, Andrew Gillum, due in federal court facing 19 charges. That includes wire fraud and conspiracy. And prosecutors say Gillum and former state House candidate Sharon Janet Lettman Hicks were conspiring to raise money, lied about what the money was for, sent it to a PR company, and then sent the money to Gillum disguised as payroll payments. Jury selection taking place this morning. Opening statements are expected this afternoon. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office Foundation was at Five Flags Speedway over the weekend. They held their Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event. That money raised went to the Sheriff's Office Foundation.
So the Sheriff's Foundation will do two things with the funds that we receive today. We will support the heroes of the Sheriff's Office, direct support payments in times of need, gifts to give back to them. We'll do employee lunches, feed them on holidays. And the other thing we'll do is we'll support their engagement in the community. We'll help fund the Sheriff's movie nights, help fund the Blazer Academy.
Foundation Vice President Whitney Lucas there. She talked with Channel 3, and that event was held Saturday. They had a car show, a movie night, of course, lots of crawfish and other food as well that night. It is 5:33 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 first warning weather.
Well, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer. Good morning. Weather forecast is a little bit chilly to start for Monday and this work week in the upper 40s to 50s, but daytime highs in the 70s with sunny skies for not only here on Monday, but for the next couple of days. Beautiful weather as we head through the work week with maybe a small rain chance by Friday and for the upcoming weekend. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Right now, 53 degrees in Pensacola, 58 in Gulf Breeze, and 51 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4, so you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Wednesday at 9 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank their board. They seemed supportive of giving us the opportunity to reach an agreement that all four counties could come together on, and were supportive of keeping an office open in Escambia County.
This is Commissioner Robert Bender talking about the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, this ongoing question about, you know, where to have it. This is the people who do autopsies, okay, and give you causes of death and prepare evidence for trial when you're talking about homicides. But, you know, it's the old facility inside of Sacred Heart in the basement there, you know, backseat middle on the hump kind of place. It's just, you know, it's not good for a variety of reasons. And so the ongoing question is, do we build a brand new facility, perhaps in Santa Rosa County, because there are four counties that have to share use of this one medical examiner, kind of like the state attorneys for District 1, these four counties, the same thing for the medical examiner. And so it's Okaloosa, Walton, Santa Rosa, and Escambia. And the Escambia County commissioners, at least three of them, have been very reluctant to spend any money outside of Escambia County because that doesn't seem right to them. You know, we've always had it here. We should always have it here. Whether that fits the changing circumstances or is the most fair, we'll talk about. But then you have Commissioner Bender, who says, look, you know, I went over to Okaloosa County and I talked to them. This is kind of cool, you know, right? He's doing his work, right? He's trying to build bridges, so to speak. The alternative would be to build to kind of upgrade the current facility and then to build a smaller second facility, perhaps a satellite facility, either in Okaloosa County or in Santa Rosa County. And then theoretically, everybody could be happy. But again, more on that in a moment. Dan Schiebler, former county administrator in Santa Rosa County, is the head of this project for DOMES, District 1 Medical Examiner. Sorry.
I think there is broad agreement that there is a need for a new facility. And that a satellite facility in Escambia County is appropriate.
So that was a bit of a shift, but that was him saying that, look, it's okay that we do this idea of two facilities, a main one in Santa Rosa and then a satellite in Escambia, which the commissioners who are in favor of having one here in Escambia, which I also had favored a little bit historically, I've changed my mind on that now, but, you know, the commissioners Barry and Burgosh and May basically think they don't want it to be a satellite. They think of it as being a fully functional two-facility system. That's what they're thinking, okay? If they go ahead with this plan and it winds up that, you know, we don't do them here in Escambia County, they're not going to be happy with that. They're thinking of a two-part system. They're not thinking of a main and then a satellite.
We did evaluate a third option at Sacred Heart Hospital, in addition to the big redevelopment of a standalone building, in addition to the expansion of an additional 6,000 square feet. We looked at a smaller upgrade. The architects and engineers have looked at that. In the 10-day rough order of magnitude estimate is around $4 million. And that would come with an additional annual lease cost of about $225,000 annually. So that would be public money invested in that private facility. I think it can operate as a satellite facility as it is for some number of years, although many of the mechanical systems are aging, which is what we discovered in that research.
So remember, you know, if you upgrade Sacred Heart, okay, he's saying if you do it properly, it's going to be about $4 million plus $250,000 a year. Or we could kind of limp along as is now, because if we built a second facility, that would really take a lot of pressure off of the current one. All right. Now, Mike Kohler, who, you know, is a nurse in his background in the military, he's the one that's kind of persuaded me to the other view here, that it doesn't make sense to have the second facility here in Escambia County.
Do we know the cost of the annex at Sacred Heart, how much that's going to cost to have two sites? Because I've talked to several of the other counties. No one seems to think that we need to. I'm the only healthcare person up here. It's not necessary. What is the mission going to be at Sacred Heart, other than that wouldn't be met at the new facility?
That's the right question. The cost, well, okay, maybe we'll get to that. But what's the point of it? Like, what are you going to accomplish with the second facility?
We're going to spend an additional $4 million at Sacred Heart. That's above and beyond what we're going to do on Avalon. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's not the recommendation, sir. That's just the estimate based upon that latest potential option at Sacred Heart.
Do you guys support having an annex at Sacred Heart?
I think having a satellite facility, we need to figure out what that looks like. It's been done in this district before. It's not ideal. It's not efficient. It introduces potential for errors.
That's correct. It does.
But it's something that is manageable, although not the best option.
Thank you.
That's the input you want to hear. This is not the best way forward. And you basically, my read is you've got commissioners here in Escambia County, Commissioners May, Burgosh, and Barry, who they kind of have, they're just, I hate to say it this way, but kind of like their ego's just stuck in it. Like, it's always been in Escambia, we're not going to do it a different way. And they just don't want to contribute money to a facility that's not here out of some weird belief that it's got to happen. And again, I had that belief. I was kind of on their side, okay? I thought the two facility made sense. But Mike Kohler has persuaded me the other way. He is the healthcare expert in the room. He knows this stuff. And you heard there from Dan Schiebler saying, yeah, it's not ideal to do it that way. Stephen Barry, again, one of the ones who wants to keep the facility here.
I'm just going to say, I don't think that we've had anybody on the professional nature look at these ideas from the county that considers the county their client from the county's point of view.
And so what? Like, anybody can look at this and understand, you know, what is the county's interest? And listen, it's not a matter of what's best for Escambia County. It's a matter of what's best for the United States of the Panhandle. The United Counties of the Panhandle. We got four counties that have to think of themselves as an entity because they are represented by a medical examiner's office, just like they're represented by a state attorney's office. And so you need to think about it as that unit. What's best for the unit? Because we don't have four different medical examiners. We have the one. And they're just not thinking about it that way. You know, Escambia County at the moment is the big state, you know, and all we're kind of, as a board, all we're really saying is we want to do what's best for the big state as opposed to thinking about what's best for the entire area. Commissioner Lumen May?
The distribution of usage of autopsies, I mean, is it equivalent to all the circuit to each county? I mean, so is there a higher usage, a higher amount of bodies coming out of Santa Rosa versus Escambia? I mean, what's that?
The number of Escambia County residents that come through our facility, sir, is about 43%, 44%.
To me, this is the weirdest question, if only because by this point in the conversation, Lumen May should absolutely know this. And I don't know whether he's asking because he doesn't remember or hasn't done the work to read the backup materials, or he's just trying to make a point. But it's a weird thing to ask because everybody knows this has come up in every single meeting. Is Escambia County has, you know, 40 to 45% of all the bodies. We have the most deaths. But other counties are growing faster than we are. Other areas are east, you know, Walton and Okaloosa are growing, growing, growing. And so the shift in demographics is kind of underway already.
So with that, obviously we have the majority. So why wouldn't it be more reasonable to have the entire facility located in Escambia County if we're at 44%?
I would say 56% of those bodies come from the other three counties, sir.
Yeah, but that's not the three.
That's the majority. And the growth that's projected over the next 20 years is projected in the eastern part of the district.
Well, you're not going to put one in every one of the counties, so that combined number 56 is not a comparable number to independently. We're at 44, 46, so we are the largest.
Yeah, but think about it. Think about it almost like you're trying to balance the counties. You know, you're trying to find where's the balance between them east to west. You know, if you got 43% here and then you've got, and I forget the numbers, but I think it's like 15, 20, 20 or something like that. Somewhere in that vicinity. If you think of those as weights on a balance beam and you're trying to find out where's the middle point of the weight, the middle point of the weight is not in Pensacola. It doesn't even make any sense. The middle point of the weight is Santa Rosa, maybe Okaloosa, but probably Santa Rosa, you know, and Avalon being right on I-10 where the current facility, the new facility is proposed, really makes all the sense in the world. That's very close to Escambia County. I mean, that's the first road in Santa Rosa, right? How long does it take to get to Avalon from anywhere in Escambia County? No time. No time. The only thing is it's cognitively conceptual. It's over a bridge. That's the only thing that makes it interesting philosophically. But it's very close, right? It takes you longer to get from Pensacola. Like, if you're at Sacred Heart, okay, and, you know, you go west on Airport or Brent and you go to 110 to 10 to Avalon, that takes you less time than it takes to get to Beulah, less time than it takes to get to Perdido. I'm just thinking about the numbers. Less time than it takes to get you to the beach. But you think like, oh, it's over the water, you know, therefore it's far away. It's not far away, not really. Commissioner Kohler makes the point.
Obviously, time to treat. If you show the data from Perdido Key or Bower Road, it's farther than where you're going to be on Avalon for living people to get if they're in some sort of trauma versus an autopsy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, live patients going to the hospital, live patients where time matters, you know, because not to be crass about it, but the medical examiner's office is cadavers, okay? Travel time doesn't matter for them. Not really, okay? So travel time from those areas to the hospitals is longer than this travel time from the hospitals over to Avalon Boulevard. We're thinking about building this facility. And this is kind of back to the point. Mike Kohler keeps asking the question. As a military guy who's not getting an answer, he keeps asking the question, what are they going to do at the satellite facility that they can't do at the one on Avalon?
I want to know what exactly is going to happen at Sacred Heart. I mean, are you going to do autopsies at two sites? I don't know what you're going to do there that you can't do at the main site 10 to 11 miles away.
There is nothing that couldn't be done at the main site that would have to be done at Sacred Heart Hospital, sir.
Would you staff both sites separately?
Escambia County is asking for a satellite facility in Sacred Heart, and I think the chief...
How many FTs would be put there?
I think it would be part-time.
See, it's not even going to be a full-time facility. It's weird. It's weird because, again, I think the Barry Bergosh and May don't want to hear this. And all they keep thinking is it's going to be a two-facility operation. It's not. Even the one that Dan Schiebler is talking about is a main one in Santa Rosa and then keep the lights on 3 days a week, like, you know, for 4 hours at a time or something in Escambia County. It's just not, it doesn't make any sense to do it a different way. And again, Kohler keeps pressing on this point.
We're talking literally less time than what a living person would have to go to from Perdido Key for an autopsy. And we're going to cost more money. And the Sacred Heart Hospital, I've been through it, it's outdated. I'm sorry, we're going to put a lot of money in to retrofit it. It just is. I could go through a laundry list, don't want to do that. But I'm on board with the other three counties. I'll be on board with them. I hope the rest of this board is as well. I hope you put two plans together, one that says the one there and the one with the annex, so we all know the cost, because I think that's worthwhile. And I would also appreciate if you put exactly the mission of what will happen at both facilities, the number of FTs and the cost, because I think that we need to consider that.
Real cost clarity and real mission clarity, two things that so far do not exist. Jeff Bergosh, he says, no, I just don't think it makes any sense to send bodies anywhere outside of the county.
I do believe that having the main facility in Escambia County makes sense because this is where most of the death happens, right? So that's number one. And number two, I do believe for the other 46% or 54% or whatever the rest of the circuit is, to have something central to that circuit leads me to believe that Okaloosa County is the natural selection choice to be central central in that county.
Well, if you believed in the two facility approach, again, as I did for a while, then that would be the one that you would advocate for. It just, as a concept, it doesn't apparently make much sense. This, to me, was one of the most important statements that happened. And this, I think, is part of what's driving it with Barry, Burgash, and May is, well, here, this is Stephen Barry.
I want to get along with everybody. I think we do a really good job on TPO. I think we do a really good job in other issues, you know. But I'm not responsible to those folks. I'm responsible to my folks. And to a person, my folks aren't interested in spending a bunch of money somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And that was the point I was making, Dan. This, none of this is personal.
Okay. That's a failure of leadership. The people that you represent don't want to spend money on a facility in Santa Rosa County. Well, how do you think the people in Walton County feel? How do you think the people in Okaloosa County feel? There are people who don't want to spend money on a facility in Escambia County. So somebody's got to be the big boy. You know, somebody's got to step up and be like, okay, listen, I know that you don't want this here, but nobody wants this like in all these other counties. So we have to do what's good for the group, for the, again, the kind of united counties of the panhandle. And the problem is they're not willing to stand up and say that and be like, you know what, I get that nobody wants to put this somewhere else, but that's what makes the most sense. That's what really is the right solution for all of this. And, you know, as Mike Kohler said, you know, we got to think as a group, and they're not. They're just, you know, it's easier to think about keeping it here. It seems to serve our interests here. My people that vote for me want it here. Well, same thing for Walton and Okaloosa. So think bigger than that. And that's the problem, is they're not, and they're not willing to lead on the issue. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got any HVAC services that you need, repairs, maintenance, replacement, you want to pick up the phone and know that the results you're going to be getting are good ones, good products, good service, good prices. That's Peden, air conditioning, heating, and electrical. Obviously, right now, you're thinking about those tune-ups for the summer. At least I hope you are, because you ought to get one. Have your system tuned up. Make sure it's going to run right, run every time, run consistently, and not waste energy. That's why you have a tune-up. You call Peden Air Conditioning today, set up an appointment to have that system checked out. It's $49. That's the special right now, $49 to have the AC inspection. So wherever you live, if you're in Panama City, Destin, Fort Walton, here in Pensacola, in Ellison Field, in fact, they're expanding to Baldwin County. So, you know, all kinds of locations that make sense to you, those are the folks to call. Also, Peden is doing free sewer camera inspections. And if you wind up having to do work with them, it's $250 off the repairs. So anything related to electrical or heating, you know, heating and air conditioning, Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Celebrate this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk for their 21st annual Crawfish Festival. Enjoy live music all weekend long by Bangarang Peter, Rusty Matoya and the Zydeco Crush, Dusty Sanders, and many, many more. The 5K starts at 8 Saturday morning, then fireworks Saturday night, and you'll definitely want to sink your teeth into some of the best hot, juicy crawfish and enjoy the beach-famous daiquiris while watching the sunset. It's all this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy the live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out, enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. Don't go around tonight. They're one of the hottest bands in bluegrass country and rockabilly on the Gulf Coast, and you'll hear everything from Marty Stewart and Charlie Daniels at Bands on the Beach Tuesday, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Pets and glass not allowed.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW.
Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, come out of our west, y'all.
Good morning, 5:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Monday. Happy Monday. It's okay, happy. It's all right. You know, soon enough, it'll be Wednesday. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Dozens of Republican members of Congress signing on to a brief urging an appeals court to uphold the decision of a federal judge in Texas that would halt the prescription of a widely used abortion pill. It's a response to over 200 congressional Democrats lobbying for a reversal on that ruling. An Ohio teen has died after taking an over-the-counter medication as part of a TikTok challenge. 13-year-old Jacob Stevens reportedly took a dozen Benadryl pills, attempting to experience hallucinations. Apparently that was something that had been mentioned on TikTok videos, but instead he suffered a fatal overdose. Family members say the teen was being filmed by his friends when he started having seizures and had to be taken to the hospital. And evacuation orders put in place days ago for residents affected by a recycling plant fire in Richmond, Indiana, have now been lifted. That announcement came at the end of the weekend here on Sunday after last week's toxic fire, which sent thick black smoke all over that area.
Man. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you need a good realtor. Realtor is going to get you the best price in either direction. And I know we talk a lot about Christina Leavenworth selling homes, and that's true. But the knowledge she has of the market on selling has translated for a lot of people into great ability to get good homes when you're buying. And even, she says, on new builds, they're able to get really, really good offers. And she knows what people are going to offer to compete with you if it's going to be a competitive situation, how to win those things because so good at the selling. But also, just kind of think about the experience level of the realtor that you hire. If there are 3,000 realtors in the area, and there are, and 1,600 of them didn't sell a single home in the first quarter of the year, January, February, March, and they didn't. And Christina had 36 sold. one every 3 days almost, a little more than that, and 29 under contract. There's 20 realtors with 20 plus, 7 with 30 plus. But because most realtors don't sell, but any homes, maybe one or two in a year, Christina sells over 200. So which level of expertise do you want working for you? That's just a decision you can make, right? And again, I don't know how she does it. I just know from talking to people that the experience is you feel like you're the only client. And yet, of course, rationally, you know that's not true. I don't know how she does it, but she does. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, Christina Leavenworth, fantastic. And particularly for military families. She really loves working with the military families. 723-9158, 723-9158. 558 on News Radio 92.3. This guy in Oregon, my own home state, I lived there for a couple of years. A guy in Oregon was driving down the highway, and I know this is going to be the part you're like, I knew I should have lived in Oregon, throwing $100 bills out the window. $200,000 worth of $100 bills.
Why did he do it?
He did it for no particular reason. He wanted to give the money away. This doesn't seem like the best way to do it. I mean, but whatever. So people were stopping their calls, picking up the bills, and basically the Oregon State Police, they stopped him, and they said, hey, can you not do this? It's causing some... Because it's not really, I guess, they weren't going to arrest him for it or anything like that, although technically it's littering. But they didn't manage to find any of the money. The cops didn't get any of the money, just all of the locals driving on the highway did. How many hundreds do you have to see floating through the air before you pull over and stop and try to grab one?
It's one.
Yeah, one.
Just one.
I think one is the pause point.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.